traffic to CKUD in Montreal.
My name is Alice Wu, and here are some of the recent headlines. Quebec has entered the seventh wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, according to Public Health Director Luc Boileau. In the last month, the province saw a 50% increase in COVID-related hospitalizations, up now to 1,500. This would be the first wave Quebec has experienced after removing almost all public health restrictions. And nearly 500 low-rent housing units across Montreal are empty because they are currently undergoing renovations. This is in the midst of a housing crisis that, as of July 2nd, left 118 households in the city without a home. And the North American Irish Dance Championships took place in Montreal last week at the Palais des Congrès. The event attracted nearly 4,000 competitors who were trying to qualify for the World Championships. And the Montreal International Jazz Festival closed on Saturday night. For over a week, the festival featured new and established talent in more than 350 concerts. Two-thirds of these were free. The festival's closing act was an outdoor performance by The Roots, with tens of thousands of audience members packed into Place du Festival.
What? My radio stuck on CKUT. I don't know. But nah, fix it! CKUT. The number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
Hello, listeners. This is Alice Wu speaking. Towards the end of May, I conducted an interview series with several independent visual artists and musicians in Montreal. They were all participating in an event called MTL Uncovered, which took place at Théâtre Paradox on May 29th. While that event has come and gone, these interviews remain timely. They reveal the diversity of the city's art landscape, and the joys and struggles of being an independent creator. So without further ado, here's my interview with Kayla Quartz. Hello to our listeners. So today we have Kayla Quartz, or also known as Kay Quartz, a visual artist born and raised in Montreal. And you can find her at Kay, which is K-A-Y, dot Quartz on Instagram. So hi, Kayla.
Hi, nice to meet you.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, nice to meet you.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about you, your artistic background?
Yeah, I've always liked art, especially drawing and painting since I was really small, mm-hmm. since I was a toddler, basically. I started taking it more seriously around middle school, high school. And yeah, that inspired me to get into the studio arts program at Dawson, which I recently graduated from. And yeah, lately I've been trying to kind of pursue something new with my art, which is how I ended up finding MTL Uncovered.
Right, which is this event that CKUT will be covering. It's a multidisciplinary art event taking place May 29th at Théâtre Paradox, so at the end of the month. So you said you're trying to find something new with your art?
Yeah, it's always been more of a hobby for me. Mm-hmm. I've done commissions here and there for the past few years, but it hasn't been a main job, quote unquote, or a main thing. So this summer, this year, I've been trying to find events like this where I could kind of show my art at like a gallery setting and showcase and sell some art. And, you know, I've never done it before, so I'm really nervous. I'm not really sure how the whole thing works, but super excited to try it out.
Sure. So you said the commissions were kind of a side project. even though you were studying studio art.
Yeah.
So you're saying your coursework took precedence?
A little bit because of that. I had to focus mostly on school projects, especially because they were project-based. But also because I found it hard to find people to commission me.
Right.
So most of the people who have commissioned me have been family friends or my own friends. So that was one of the reasons I haven't done a lot of commission work. But from the ones I've done, they've all been very enjoyable.
So how exactly did you find out about MTL Uncovered and how did you get involved?
Actually, I saw an ad on Instagram and I decided to check it out. I was like, you know what, whatever, I'm just going to shoot them a message, say that I'm interested in joining. So I DM'd their Instagram account. Then they were like, perfect, you can just send your information to our email and you'll be in. And then, yeah, that was that. It was just cool to find it from an Instagram ad.
Right, yeah. Opportunities can come from anywhere. Tell us a little bit about you've talked about your artistic training. You've also mentioned before the interview started that you plan on studying fine arts at Concordia.
Yeah, I hope to do that by the fall. Not this fall, but the one after. It all comes down, though, to if I have enough money for at the time. So hopefully by then I get to go into fine arts. I'm somewhat interested in maybe one day becoming an art therapist. So I might also take some psychology classes on the side, like minor in psychology, and then focus on art.
So you've always created art, but then you also wanted kind of that formal training.
Yeah, I've also always been into psychology. I've taken only two classes in SEJEP, general psychology and then abnormal psychology, and I've loved them both. It was just art was always a priority for me. So I think it would be fitting to take some classes while I'm in an art program.
Sure. So on the topic of psychology and also mental health, you've mentioned before that you are an artist living and working with OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder. So what exactly is that like for you?
Before I got officially diagnosed, it was a very confusing, somewhat miserable time. I wasn't sure what was going on for me for many years. I started experiencing symptoms when I was 13. And then up until I was 19, I had no idea what was up with my brain until one day I was doing research because I finally had enough. And then turns out I found out these are symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder. And it took a few years to get a diagnosis and to get proper help for it. But luckily, getting a diagnosis and getting on medication has helped a lot. But to this day, it's still something I struggle with. It's not as bad as it has been a few years prior, but it's a bit exhausting, but I like to channel it through my art.
Right, which you've mentioned before as well.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was confusing and miserable. Do you want to elaborate on that? Or
yeah, just because especially when I had no idea what it was, I experienced a lot of intrusive thoughts, a lot of physical and mental compulsions, mostly involving counting or rearranging stuff or just right stuff. Like if I touch something but it doesn't feel right, I have to continuously touch it over and over and over again until it feels just right. The compulsions used to take up hours of my day, even for a little while when it was at its worst. It was at its worst when I was 19. It has also affected my art in terms of how I draw. Like if I drew a line and then it didn't feel right, I would have to erase it and start over. And I had to do that multiple times. So for a while, art was really tedious to do. But then over the years, as I got help from my doctor, got put on medication, the physical compulsions are not as bad anymore. So I'm able to luckily do art and do most of my daily tasks a lot more easily than I used to.
Right. Was that hard for your self-esteem, not knowing what was going on?
It was, yeah, it was very confusing, especially because no one around me really understood either.
Right.
And I didn't understand it myself. So I felt very isolated and very lonely compared to my peers, my family, my friends.
So since you've gotten a diagnosis, have you been able to connect with other peers or people with OCD?
Yeah, I started being more open about it with my friends and started talking to them about it. They understand now too, and they sympathize with me. I found a lot of Instagram accounts based around OCD and OCD help too, so following them has also helped a lot since it shows that I'm not alone in this. I'm not the only person in the world experiencing this. And I actually found an app called NoCD, where it's kind of like Facebook, except it's people talking about their struggles with OCD, and it also offers like free and or paid therapy as well.
Oh, nice. How does art kind of intersect with OCD? So, like you said, you've said that it's an emotional outlet for you, but you also mentioned that for a while it was quite tedious. Is that still the case now that you've gotten diagnosed and are being treated?
Now that I'm better understanding and kind of controlling my compulsions, now I use art as an outlet for venting. A lot of the times, which is most of the reason why my art is very surreal. It's like right now it's an outlet for me to get those thoughts, get those emotions out, usually in the form of like creepy creatures or really surreal environments. And in that case, it has helped. In the past, it was really tedious just because, like I said, my compulsions affected the way I drew and painted as well. I forgot to mention this before, but when I was a teenager, around 16, I went through this phase with my compulsions where I had to draw the same thing over and over and over and over and over every day.
Oh, wow. For and, how long?
That one, it would last like a few months, and that kind of made art really tedious for me because it was after a certain point I'm like, I don't want to draw this thing anymore, but then if I don't, then you know, bad things are going to happen, my brain's telling me. But luckily at the moment it's not like that anymore. Now I can freely make the art I want without my brain trying to corrupt it for me.
So what kind of things were you repeatedly drawing?
That's the thing too, it wasn't like, at the time it was just cartoon characters, for example, but it was just the fact that it was like, you have to draw this at this specific time every day or else, you know, your brain tells you bad stuff will happen. So even though the subject matter wasn't like bad in itself, it was just feeling like I had to do this monotonous task every day. And it was like, it felt like I was forced to. And yeah, not a fun time, but it's a lot better now.
So you still wanted to keep making art even when it was tedious?
Yes, because even when it was at its most tedious, it was still something that I had a strong passion for. So I didn't want to stop.
What kind of gives you this passion for art? What about art really like draws you and attracts you?
I think it's just playing with subject matter. It's just the freedom that it comes with. It's always been fun to just play with color, play with subject matter, draw people, draw animals. It gives me a lot of peace. It feels very therapeutic now, at least. But I'm not sure where the passion actually came from. My parents they're not like artistic in terms of visual arts. So I'm not exactly sure where that came from, but I'm happy I still kept this desire to make art.
For sure. So you've been keeping at it ever since you can remember, basically.
Yeah.
And so it's like finding a sense of order where you take, like, you start off with an idea and then you're able to create something out of it?
Yeah, pretty much a lot. It's either that I make artwork on the spot or I plan it out. It's really fun.
So what kind of art exactly do you want to create? And what kind of things are that you do want to express? You've talked about surrealism being a big part of your practice.
Yeah, mostly I want to play a lot now with surreal themes and abstract themes. I used to not be very into surreal art, actually. When I was a teenager, I would mostly draw stuff that was like into the games or shows that I watched. But now I find it a lot more fun to play with these surreal themes and to play with new mediums. I've gotten into acrylic paint, and for the future, I kind of can want to push myself and see how far I can go in terms of these themes.
So you want to dive deeper into the surrealism?
Yeah.
So who are some of your artistic influences, and do you know where this interest in surrealism came from?
It's kind of hard to pronounce some of their names, because a lot of the artists I've been inspired by are like Polish surreal artists, and just seeing how like mesmerizing and dreamlike their art is really inspired me to create stuff in a similar theme to that. And also just being interested in horror and surrealism outside of visual art as well. It's always been something fascinating to me, and I always wanted to create in that theme.
You said it's a way of getting your emotions out. It's a release.
Yeah.
Is it, do you feel like it's a more of a literal translation of the thoughts and feelings, or does it kind of transform itself into something very different?
Yeah, I would say the latter. It's at the end of the illustration or painting, it always ends up being, I like it when people interpret my art however they want, but usually there ends up being multiple meanings that I give to the piece.
That you have your own ideas of what it means.
Yeah.
What kind of media do you use? You talked about acrylic painting, you do some digital art.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of oil painting. I haven't done that in a while. I also do watercolor paintings. And I do marker art too with the brand Ohuhu markers, like alcohol markers. Right now, I've mostly been focusing on acrylic paint, which I used to hate, but now I love.
Yeah, what do you love about it?
Actually, what I love about it now is why I used to hate it. I love how fast it dries. I love how you can just layer on top of it if you make a mistake. I love how the texture and, I don't know, it's just a fun medium.
Similar with oil painting, you can kind of cover.
Yeah, the one thing about oil painting that I didn't like was just that the paint takes really long to dry. Like, it can take days or weeks, and just, if you wanted to add something to it, you had to wait until the paint dried, or else you would just smudge everything.
Right.
So that was why I didn't like acrylics in the past, because it dried so fast, and at the time I preferred the paint staying wet so that I can just, you know, morph it in case I didn't like it. But now it's like, I like that it dries fast because I can just put it away and work on it a lot more quickly.
Yeah. Does it lend itself to less overthinking?
Yeah.
More spontaneity.
And yeah, that especially because acrylic paint's a lot less expensive than oils. So if it's a lot less stressful, I guess, than like oil painting or watercolor.
Sure. Do you still like try to use different media to express different things, or is it just you're kind of using acrylic as your language right now?
Right now I'm still kind of in the acrylic phase, but I still love doing digital art. I do plan on doing more digital art when I move and have a setup of my drawing tablet and, you know, all that. I do want to try other mediums, but right now I'm still in this, like,
right, of course,
acrylic obsession.
And do you feel like the kind of like having dabbled with these different mediums, that they kind of inform each other, that they give you different tools to work with?
Yeah, because depending on what mood I'm going for, all these mediums kind of reflect that differently. So it's also just beneficial to be familiar with a lot of mediums in case you get bored of one. Because I find that, like, if I want to do something like very detailed or very big, I'll use acrylic. If I want to do something a bit more simple, a bit more chill, I'll use watercolor. If I want to do something that won't translate well with traditional tools, I'll go with digital art, and so on and so forth.
So a lot of acrylics right now and a lot of surrealism. And then in the future, do you have any plans to explore different styles?
Yeah, I do want to. I don't like sticking with one thing forever. So I think I'll always have a special place in my heart for surreal art, including in the future, but I do want to try some other styles one day.
Do you want to talk about a little bit, where does inspiration come from for you? What do you draw from while you're creating?
It comes from a combination of just me struggling with my mental health,
right,
but also nature. I go on a lot of walks. I go to a lot of like forests and nature parks and lakes, and just seeing all the wildlife and all the cool looking plants makes me want to draw them all and paint them all.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, oh, these things look so pretty and they're so cool. I need to create this. And yeah, nature's a big, big, big influence for me, but also just like my friends, just different personalities I meet. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Lots of things inspire me.
Because nature is an important part of one of your pieces that we're going to discuss on air.
Oh yeah, it's called Date in the Park.
Date in the Park.
And yeah, that one was a bit funny. I was passing by this house and all of their sculptures were wrapped up in bags since it was just winter. And then there was these two sculptures of two people sitting next to each other on a bench that were wrapped in garbage bags. And I thought, oh, they look dead. Those look like body bags. So I decided to go home and paint the idea that I got. So it's just a little couple, little old couple garbage bags on a bench with some poisonous mushrooms in the background, poisonous berries, some maggots and flies around them. And
then a backdrop also of like white birches in the background.
Just to kind of contrast with the kind of dark tones in the front.
So this piece you can find on Kayla's Instagram. So that's again, kay.quartz on Instagram. So you created this in March of this year?
Yeah, when it was the snow just started melting a bit. Winter and spring are like my biggest times of inspiration. I have a lot of trouble making art when it's hot outside, but when it's cold, I'm booming with inspiration.
Montreal is a good place to live, maybe. Yeah.
And yeah, just seeing the way they were wrapped up, they looked like how body bags in like TV shows would look. I just thought, oh, that's really creepy, but that would make a cool painting.
So the statues were of an old couple.
Yeah, they were an old couple, because I do see the statues in the summer. They're really beautiful. And it's just an old man and old woman, like, laying next to each other, like, on the bench with their heads on each other's shoulders.
Oh, so they are attached to the bench.
Yeah, that's, like, what the sculpture is. But the person wrapped the actual sculptures in the body bag. Well, I'm calling it a body bag. It's just a regular garbage bag.
Right.
And I don't know, I was just like, that looks so romantic but so creepy at the same time. It was just cute that they were like, I don't know, if the sculptures are all not wrapped up anymore, maybe I'll bring a picture to NTL Uncovered to kind of have them side by side.
Right.
And yeah.
That's beautiful. I wouldn't say beautiful, but it's a fascinating process. Because they since it is an old couple, there's kind of this like sense that they're near the end of their life. And then there's this connection with morbidity that you kind of saw, you read into, even though they were technically just garbage bags and not body bags. Although it kind of is interesting the way we dispose of bodies and we dispose of garbage, as if like, do they go away? Do they still have an influence on us?
Yeah, and especially just, I don't know, the fact that they still looked like comfortable with each other and in love. And all that.
Okay.
It just was a combination of morbid and romantic, which was also why I added like the poisonous mushrooms, the poisonous berries, and then the insects, the worms, just because they were like, they're symbolism of death, but they're also part of nature and they're beautiful in their own way.
So you're saying that death can be beautiful?
I guess, yeah. All right. In its own way.
Because that's a really poignant thing you just said, that they looked like they were still in love and very comfortable with each other, even in death.
Yeah, and it was just a little sad, a little heartbreaking, but I like to romanticize everything.
Have you been influenced by like the romantic movement? What are some influences that possibly have led into this piece?
I think it was also just a lot of the media I like is somewhat dark in themes. I remember growing up a lot with movies like The Secret of Nim or Watership Down.
Of course.
Which are very, very classic, kind of, kids should not watch this, but they did, kind of movies. But they're so artistic in their own way, and they're so beautiful in their own way. And I feel like to this day, that sort of like disturbing but beautiful theme has always been one of my favorite themes in terms of other people's art and my own art.
Because I guess there is this quality of disturbing things where we don't want to look at them, but we also do because we're interested and we haven't seen it before.
Yeah, it's just like curiosity.
Yeah, like a bit like Pandora's box.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have your own interpretation of Date in the Park that you want to share, or... You have said before that you like for everyone to bring their own interpretation to the piece. So you don't have to share your interpretation, but maybe some possible interpretations that people have shared with you that you thought were interesting. Just some ideas that people can bounce off of.
Oh, yeah. I honestly, though, with this piece, this is one of my pieces that aren't very deep in terms of meaning. It was mostly just for visuals. Like, it has its own meaning of, like, the meaning of death, the meaning of love, and how they combine. But other than that, For this piece specifically, that would be it.
Right.
But I do like seeing people's interpretations. I love it when people look at my art and then they tell me what they think. And it's something I never thought of before. And I'm like, oh, that's actually really interesting.
Because I stumbled across this piece on your Instagram personally. And at first it's not graphic, no, because it's people wrapped up in body bags. It's not, you can see rotting corpses. But then I sat with it, like the people sitting on the bench, I sat with it a little bit longer. And there was just something about it that seemed like strangely disturbing to me. And then I wanted to just look at it longer and discuss it with you.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that they're doing what we would do if we were alive. They're just sitting in a park, enjoying nature, just in each other's company. But then they're just wrapped up in body bags. But then it's kind of depicted as normal.
Right.
It's like a little bit surprising. But nonetheless, I know I created the piece, so it's like it seems like obvious to say this, but to me, I found it like a beautiful concept.
So when you are creating art, you don't always try to have a set meaning?
No,
you try to. What is it you're trying to do exactly?
It's mostly just a jumble of my emotions at the time or my thoughts at the time. Mm-hmm. So it's usually not a specific thought or theme, unless if it is, I'll say it in the description, for example. But most of the time, it's just a mumble of multiple different themes. But that's what makes it all the more fun and interesting. But both like negative emotions and positive ones.
So I wanted to talk about this piece, but do you have any a piece in particular that you are the most proud of that you want to share?
I'm sure I have a few that are a bit older, but a recent one I made was of a woman wearing a crow mask, and behind her is a surreal painting that she did of two dead birds.
So we're looking at, this piece is called?
I believe it's
Artist and Artwork.
Yeah, Artist and Artwork. And this is a piece I'll actually be showcasing at MTL Cover, but basically it's supposed to be representative of me showing my artwork.
Okay.
And you can see with the art, with the painting behind the figure, it's just two dead birds laying on cushions with a distorted, creepy face in front of them with a sun in between the two birds. Kind of representative of the art that I usually make that's like me venting out my thoughts and emotions. And then the figure in front is supposed to be representative of me.
Why a crow head?
I've been really into crows lately. Actually, I used to be afraid of crows because my mom is Polish, and growing up, crows are kind of like a symbol of they're bringing bad news or a bad omen. So I used to be very uncomfortable around crows, but now I see the beauty in them. Now I really, really love crows.
That's a really remarkable thing. You used the theme of death earlier and you found something beautiful about it. And here again, you're taking something that could be negative and you're finding something positive.
Yeah.
About it. Is that some like a commonality in your art, you'd say?
Yeah, actually, I would say so. I like to look on the bright side of things. No matter how hard things get, I like to say to myself, like, things will get better. Things will be fine. And I feel like this is kind of representative of that. She looks a bit nervous, the woman in the crow mask. Or I don't know if you could tell.
But yeah.
Just like the blood also pouring out of the mask and her eyes looking very, very stressed. It's kind of representative of just, I guess, when my mental health is not great, but she's still proud to show her artwork.
So for those who are just tuning in, we have Kayla Quartz in the station at the time of recording. And so we're looking at one of her pieces of art called Artist and Artwork. It is on her Instagram, kay.quartz. And it is actually from May 14th, this piece.
Yeah, it's very, very new. I made it mostly just for the show because right. I was kind of going with a bird theme. I don't know why. I've been really liking birds lately. So this was for that show. But even though I made it just for the show, it still has, like, to me, a deep meaning, like and a very personal meaning.
So there's a bird in the front and then the picture of the two birds in the back. So the birds in the painting behind the bird artist,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're a different kind of bird.
Yeah, they're like, I don't remember what the kind of bird they're called is, but they're like a lot smaller. A lot of my compulsions and obsessions involve numbers, specifically like 2, 3, or I don't know, other numbers. This one, I don't know, I really like symmetry, just in general. Not, that's just not like a specific thing to my brain, but yeah, I wanted to have two birds lying next to each other on their little pillows.
Right, so on the bird's belly, there's a bunch of red objects. What are those exactly?
The two circular ones that are on each of their chests are supposed to be eyes, and then the other ones on the bottom are teeth. So it's supposed to be a creepy, weird-looking face.
Okay. It seems more like a coincidental face.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be, like, actually part of the birds. It's just a surreal element on top of them to kind of resemble a face. It's just a little looming, creepy smile looking at the viewer.
Right.
That sounded really morbid.
So you said that you made this piece specifically for MTL Uncovered,
mm-hmm.
which is the event, again, that's taking place at the end of this month at Théâtre Paradox on May 29th. And you said it depicts a lot of your anxiety with showing people your art. Are you feeling some of those feelings right now as the event approaches?
Yeah, I'm honestly, as excited as I am really nervous to have a vernissage, to be at a vernissage like this, right. And showing a bunch of people my art, because I am, at least on Instagram, it's behind a screen, so it's a bit less nerve-wracking, but at MTL Uncovered, it's going to be hundreds of people possibly looking at my art in person, so
right, yeah.
That's a little nerve-wracking.
But. So for people who don't know, can you explain what a vernissage is?
Yeah, it's basically, at least for MTL Uncovered specifically, it is a gallery showing where each artist is going to have their own individual booths where they can showcase their art, and they also have the option to sell any of their artwork if they like to. At least me personally, yeah, I'm going to be both showcasing art and selling art.
And you're excited for both those aspects.
Yeah, I've never sold art in an event like this before, so that is pretty exciting. And I never had my art depicted in a gallery like this before either, so that is also very exciting.
Right, and this all came about when you just emailed the organizers and decided to try something, take a chance.
Yeah, because I just thought, like, you know what, well, there's no harm in at least asking them if I could be a part of it. And I was really happy that they were down, that they were like, yeah, sure, you can be a part of this. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Perfect. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and resume the interview. Thanks so much, Kayla.
Thank you.
Right now, so now we're back with Kayla Quartz, a visual artist born and raised in Montreal. So while we were having our break, Kayla and I were talking about how she has a really good visual memory. So, because earlier when she was describing one of her pieces, which you can find on her Instagram, it's kay.quartz, she was talking about the piece Artist and Artwork, and I had the piece pulled up for reference, but then she was just telling me exactly which elements were where in the composition, just by memory, and I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah, I never really thought about that before, how, like, my visual memory is like that, but when it comes to my artwork, I know what they look like from the top of my head in terms of composition, even if I might not remember exact details.
Even if it's an older piece?
Depending how old, I say if it's, I remember some of them from even, like, 3 years ago.
Right.
I feel like the only ones I might not remember are, like, high school artworks.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, I never thought about that before.
Do you feel like your memory, like, changes the way you create art?
It wasn't always, like, something I was consciously aware of.
Okay.
But I think it somewhat does. Especially, like, before I said how nature inspires me a lot. Even if I happen to not take pictures of the plants or animals that inspire me, sometimes I'll just remember the general vibe that I got from wherever I'm at, and if I feel like drawing it, I'll just like
right.
references. I still use references, like in the piece for artists and art. I only use reference for the birds that are lying down in the background. I feel just subconsciously, yeah, visual memory does help a lot in terms of painting and drawing.
Because not everyone's brain works like that.
Yeah, I only found out recently that not everyone thinks very visually. Mm-hmm. I've heard that people can't picture something in their mind.
That's called aphantasia, and I would know because I have it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why your visual memory really stuck out to me, because my brain personally does not work like that. And when I close my eyes, it's all dark.
That's so interesting. Yeah, in that case, then that might be why art was always something interesting to me. My brain is never shutting off, and I'm just always like visualizing stuff in my head. And I'm like, maybe that accidentally influenced my subject matter.
Right. So, because earlier we were talking about how you are a person and an artist living with OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder, and that changes the way you experience the world and like changes the way you see things. Do you think in some ways it's actually almost helpful to your art, or it gives you a different perspective than other people?
Actually, I find somewhat yes. As much as OCD mm-hmm. hinders me, I find because it forces me to have a good memory of everything and a kind of schedule of my day-to-day life, it helps me in terms of like art or just other stuff to stay focused and to remember things well. Actually, I find that since I've been getting treated for it, I've been a lot more disorganized.
Oh, so, wow. So
as much as I'm not saying it's like a good thing to have, the organizing and the memory did help.
Yeah, people's brains work in very different ways, and it's just endlessly fascinating.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier about like a piece of art that was on your Instagram. You have a lot of art that's on your Instagram. In fact, you post frequently, many times a week.
Yeah, it can go to either every day of the week or every second day, or if I'm in a little art rut, once a week.
Okay. Art. So that's when you're resting, but still, you're still putting art out. So you're always creating.
Pretty much, especially when like in the cold months, I'll be making art every single day. It's just, I feel in the next few months to come, I might be a bit more inactive on my Instagram just because summertime, I don't know. I think the heat just makes me a little less willing to make art. But yeah, I post a lot, just one, because I want to show the art that I've been recently making. And also it helps the Instagram algorithm, because the Instagram algorithm isn't too nice to artists who don't post often as well. I don't know. It's kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Right, and as you're growing a following, you're putting your art out there and making yourself more known.
Yeah, especially with MTL Uncover coming up in a few weeks, I do want to showcase a lot more of my art and be more active on my Instagram so that people can know, like they can come see the event, see all the other cool artists that are there too.
Right, so about MTL Uncovered, what are you looking forward to the most about this?
I think it's just meeting all the other artists, because I briefly saw everyone. We had a meeting a few weeks ago.
Okay.
But I didn't really get the chance to talk to everyone, but I'll get a chance to see everyone's artwork there. And I'm so excited to do that and to mm-hmm. be a part of it. And it's just like a shared experience of creatives just, I don't know, having like a little fancy event to themselves.
Right. It's not isolating. It's people who understand, who also have this drive to create and understand what it's like.
Exactly. I just love being around artistic people. It's mm-hmm. just that in itself is just so inspiring and motivating for me. And I'm also excited to just see all my loved ones come in all at the same time. Uh-huh. Like, and seeing like this cool like gallery showing. I don't know. It's just the event in itself is just so exciting.
Right, so you said that this is your first major vernissage or exhibition.
Yeah.
Before this, you've showcased your work in school contexts?
The most I've had was my class and I made a website where we can showcase art for that class, because that was in the semester where we didn't have in-person classes, so we couldn't have a physical vernissage. So all we had was the website. But this is going to be my first event where I'm actually showing my art and sending it all up in person. Otherwise, besides like showing classmates or my friends my art or posting it on Instagram, I've never done anything like this before.
Wow.
It's a little scary, but...
Because MTL Uncovered, for those who are coming in right now, is an event showcasing independent Montreal-based artists. So what does it mean to you to be an indie artist?
Well, one, I get the freedom to make, well, minus commissions, I get the freedom to make whichever art I want, basically. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of other more big corporate art jobs where you have to work for a company, you don't have as much freedom. But I feel I enjoy the freedom to make whatever I want. The only downside I find is that it's somewhat unreliable. You never know what's going to happen in that month. It's not like a 9-to-5 where you have like a set hours, set pay. It all depends on like how busy you are that month, basically.
And is your goal to eventually be able to make more money with commissions and with selling your art?
I do want to become a full-time artist in the future, so I'm hoping that through this event, it'll kind of open the doors to, yeah, getting more commissions or selling more prints or selling originals. Because my main job at the moment is just in retail, so I'm hoping in the future to hopefully be financially stable enough to have an art-related job all on its own.
Did you come into the year actively seeking out more events that would give you exposure like this? Are you seeking out other events as we speak?
Yeah, actually, before 2022, I guess also because of the pandemic, I wasn't really actively looking for stuff. But this year, I really decided I want to try something new. I want to open my horizons. And I also applied for a lot of other events similar to MTL Uncovered. I didn't get into the other ones, so I was a little bit, like, unmotivated, but then MTL Uncovered accepted my request to join. That was motivating, and I hope through this I learn a lot.
I mean, we're coming out of a pandemic, which was a hard time for any artist. A little bit easier for visual artists than, say, performers, but still, like, art is also about collaboration. It's about having a dialogue with other people, and that's much harder when everyone is practicing social distancing.
Yeah, I find that at least in the beginning of the pandemic, when everything was at home, I did have a lot more time to make art. And I think as bad as the pandemic was, it did kind of push me to explore my art a lot more and to gain the confidence to willingly apply to events like this one where I can just show my art and meet people. But I find that the pandemic has also made me a lot more nervous around people at the same time. So it's just simultaneously like, I want to push myself to do new things. And then I'm also scared at the same time.
Right. But it wasn't all bad. And there were some opportunities,
exactly.
Some good things you could take away from it.
Exactly. Like I did grow a lot as a person and an artist during this time. So I guess I get to show that at the at the gallery showing.
So one thing about doing art remotely, like in your description, you talked about how you were born and raised in Montreal. So being from Montreal is a big part of your identity. When stuff is online, where you're geographically located often seems like it matters less.
Yeah, I find that. Well, one thing I really appreciate about Montreal itself is that it's a very artistic city. There's so many opportunities to have here, and I'm really lucky to have been born and raised in a city where I could basically be very open about my passion, because I know not everywhere in the world is like that. But then online it's a little difficult, because minus the people who follow me that are like from the city, most of my audience is either American or from other Canadian provinces. So it's a little like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's really cool, but at the same time, a bit harder, I guess, to like get my stuff out there in terms of commissions or selling stuff.
That makes sense, because if it's in person, you can kind of just put up your art. And if people walk by, they just have to see it. Versus online, you can't really forcefully grab their attention.
Especially with Instagram, for example, because that is the main site I use for my art. Its algorithm is not that great, especially for artists, I find. And especially if you make art that's like either depicting nudity or horror, Instagram tends to either like take down those posts or not push them out to your viewers. And you kind of have no choice but to push your art out there and kind of shove it in everyone's face, for lack of a better word, like constantly being active and every day, basically, or sharing on your story. And I'm still not used to that. I always feel bad when I'm kind of pushing my stuff out there, because it's like, oh, I don't want people to feel like, I don't know, like I'm forcing them to like look at my stuff. But the algorithm is difficult to deal with.
Right, but you would never want to change your art because of the algorithm. You don't make your art for Instagram. Instagram is a way for you to share your art.
Pretty much. I no matter what, I want to create when I want to create. I don't want to limit myself because people would rather look at something else, or because the algorithm favors certain things over other. Like, I find, especially on social media, there's so many art trends that go around, and usually like specific art styles trend for a little while. Oh, make a drawing based on 3 emojis or whatever. And it's always like trends like that that get a lot of traction.
Right, but they're passing trends.
There. Exactly. I find it's also another thing. It's just not reliable, I think, to solely depend on trends. It's just good to make the art you want so you attract the audience that likes what you like.
I mean, the important thing is also that you enjoy what you're making, because it's not like art is the most lucrative, high-paying endeavor that you could undertake.
Especially like when I mentioned before how when my mental health was at its worst and art became tedious, I don't want to willingly make art that I don't enjoy making, especially when it's not art that I personally would even like making for hours and hours. It's just art that either the algorithm prefers or other people prefer. But if I don't like it, I don't want to make it.
You can't guarantee that other people are going to see it, but you can guarantee that you will spend a lot of time looking at it.
Exactly. As at the end of the day, I also just like to share my art simply because I was proud of it. I'm proud of the thing that I created and that I enjoyed. And it just makes me extra happy when other people tell me like, oh, that thing you made is cool. And I'm like, oh, cool. You like the same taste that I like.
Yeah, which is going to be a wonderful thing about MTL Uncovered, getting your work out there. I'm sure every artist there is going to be bringing their friends and their family. But then there are also people who are not connected to any of the artists. And so you have all these people that you're not going to know. Mm-hmm. Who are going to get exposed to your art in person, as we talked about, where their eyes must look at this art because they are physically there.
Mm-hmm. And it's also just, I'll get to hear opinions people have on my art in person as well. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking. That's why I'm nervous. It's just all out in the open. It's different online. You're behind the screen. When people say stuff about your art, it's just like through comments or whatever. So it's very easy to just like, you know, close your phone and whatever.
It still can be hard.
Yeah, it's just like in person, and it's just it's right there. So if, I don't know, it's not something I'm used to, but it is something I'm excited about.
Right.
And I'm also excited that a lot of the other artists, I was looking through MTL Uncovered's page, a lot of the other artists there are also pretty abstract or surreal in their subject matter. So it's going to be comforting in that sense that these other artists have similar taste to me. So hopefully the audience likes my art.
You'll have people who understand that fear of judgment as well. Online, it's just the comments, like you said, or the number of likes. But in person, there's the tone of voice, there's how people's faces look.
Yeah, so that part is a little, I'm going to need some getting used to that. I'm sure it'll be a lot better once I'm actually at the event. I'm sure it won't be too bad. I'm just overthinking.
Yeah. And okay, so to wrap this up, I just wanted to leave you with one more question. So we touched on this briefly, that Montreal is a city with a lot of art, a lot of artists, a lot of opportunities. But how exactly does living in Montreal influence your work, and what are some kind of the benefits and the drawbacks that you see?
I feel the benefits would just be, like I said before, it's such an artsy city. There are so many galleries and museums here. My friends are all, even if they're not visual artists, they're all artsy in their own way. I find especially with people around my age, like people in their early 20s, everyone's just trying to explore their own little artistic world. I feel the only drawback would just be, even though I was born and raised here, my French is not that good. So I find one of the reasons I've had complications kind of getting myself out there in the city is just because I'm not that fluent in French. I feel like that wouldn't really be a hindrance if you're bilingual or if you're francophone. But at least for me, that's the one con of the city. Otherwise, it's such a beautiful city.
Well, I think it is probably easier to not be francophone if you make visual art, mm-hmm. as opposed to being a performance artist, or basically if you are a theater artist and you only know how to pronounce words in English, say, then you're limited by the scripts that you can read. But if it's visual art, everyone has eyes and everyone, regardless of the language they speak, can still see it and appreciate it.
That's true. It's kind of like anyone anywhere can look at it and appreciate it for what it is. And at least it's not something that's limiting. At least I have the freedom to still create what I create without, I don't know, any complications.
But I guess that is a real challenge in terms of reaching out to people like the organizers of MTL Uncovered who speak English, or the organizers of other events, the owners of galleries, things like that. Then the language you speak does influence what opportunities are open to you.
That's another thing too, is just like you said, if other event hosters are not fluent in English, mm-hmm. they only speak French, or if people buying my art in person don't speak English, that's when it becomes kind of complicated. But I can understand and speak basic French, but it's really bad. I don't know how it's this bad, but
always stuff to work on.
Yeah. Hopefully I get more fluent as the years go by. Maybe being more out there will help a lot with becoming more bilingual. It's just at the moment I haven't had many opportunities to speak French a lot besides my retail job. Yeah, there's that.
And are you planning on staying in Montreal for this foreseeable future because your family's here?
Yeah, I don't have any plans with moving out of this city. Oh, it'd always be nice to travel, but honestly, while the city and province does have its flaws, I love it here. All my friends and family are here. At least for the next few years, I'm definitely going to stay here.
All right, so there you have it. That was Kayla Quartz, also known as Kay Quartz on Instagram, KAY.Quartz. An independent Montreal-based artist who does acrylics, does digital art, explores a lot of surrealist themes. All right, Kayla, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right, and to our listeners, take care and we'll see you soon. Or you'll hear us over the airwaves very soon.
You drop out?
Well, a lot of people think it was a 400 acid trip they took, you know?
Uh-huh, but what was it really, Bob?
One day I played CKUT in 90.3.
Then what happened?
I saw God.
You I saw God. That. Well, that sounds like true enlightenment to me,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, we've
And on the seventh day, the Lord said,
let there be CKUT.
And now for some news you can use. Indigenous Fridays are back at Cabot Square. These events explore Indigenous art and culture and raise awareness on homelessness in Montreal's Indigenous communities. That's every Friday until August 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. You can find out more on the Cabot Square Project Facebook page. And the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute is having a webinar in support of McGill students in solidarity with Palestine. They'll have Pink Floyd's guitarist, Roger Waters, as a special guest speaker. The webinar is on Thursday at 3 p.m. You can find out more about the event at the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute's Facebook page. And the community group Solidarity Across Borders is organizing a march in support of non-status migrants in Montreal and across Canada. The demonstrators will be meeting at Place Émile de Gamelin on Sunday, July 17th at 2 p.m. You can find out more on the Instagram page ssf.sab or on the website solidarityacrossborders.org. And the nonprofit blood collection agency EMA Québec wants more Black people to donate blood. Most of the Quebecers with sickle cell anemia and who need regular blood transfusions are Black. It is less risky for regular blood recipients if their donors are more genetically similar. For more information on how to donate, visit hema/quebec.qc.ca.
You need quality sounds? Tune into CKUT 90.3 on the Frequency Modulation Band Radio. www.ckut.ca on the internet. Streaming audio, archive shows, and information.
CKUT. Bow, 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 bow